Okay, I took the weekend for reviewing all the documents and all the comments on the list, and we asked and we requested to have a comparison between the different regions and the different allocations of countries and sub-regions. That would be an interesting tool to have available. Rob, do you know if we are able to have this someday in the near future?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I circulated something to the list probably about 45 minutes ago after I got Philip's okay. So if folks don't have that, they should be having that on their servers soon.
Don't see it yet, but I'll watch for it.
No, me neither.
Okay.
Okay. I have been reviewing all the documents, especially the document issued by the working group from the CCNSO on geographic regions, and I also remember to being involved in that when I was GAC representative for Argentina last year or the year before. One thing that I think it's relevant to define is which is important for the GNSO, because I think regions are important, especially for CCNSO and for countries, but which is the relevance for the GNSO? And I think that in the list we already have some ideas. I think we all check, Philip and myself agreed that the geographical diversity that we need for our council members should be our main issue for taking in consideration. Do you think there is something else about geographic regions about and the GNSO?
Hey, Olga, this is Chuck.
Yeah.
As I think I communicated on the list, one of my biggest concerns is one that may not be considered.
Hello? I cannot hear you.
Cannot hear me. Can anybody else hear me?
I can hear you, Chuck.
Okay, you cannot hear me, Olga?
No.
Olga's line is very faint.
Okay.
You're coming through fine for me, Chuck, as well, Philip.
Hello? Hello? I lost the connection so I didn't hear you, Chuck. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Now I'm hearing you, but before you started to talk and I lost you.
Okay, let me try starting over. As I think I communicated on the list, one of the concerns that I think is really important to us, and it may even become more important with the GNSO voting structure that we recommended, that is the geographical diversity requirements that are in the bylaws for the GNSO.
Exactly.
The registries in particular in the past have had a real challenging time filling geographical diversity requirements because there, frankly, were no registries in several regions of the world. And that has forced us to, stretch the requirements and find somebody, whether they were particularly willing to serve or had the time or whatever, or qualified. And I think that's not a desirable outcome. Now, my first concern in that regard is I'm not sure that particular issue was intended by the CCNSO or even the board in terms of the scope for this particular effort. And so while I think it's one that I definitely should be addressed, we may have to address the issue of whether it's in scope and make either recommend that it be considered in scope or take some other avenue in terms of dealing with this issue. Now, let me qualify all that, too, by saying that the registries are all for the geographical diversity, and we think that should be continued, but we think that more flexibility, more along the lines of what's required at the board level, would be better for the council as a whole rather than applying it individually by constituency. Now, we're going to have to think through that if we pursue that, because I understand there's some complications with that, but some increased flexibility, I think, would be really helpful. And I'll leave it at that for right now. We can talk more about that later.
Can I have a question, Tony Harris?
Yeah.
I'm just getting a little confused here about the actual objective of this working group. Are we looking at geographical diversity all across ICANN or just related to the GNSO?
I think that we have to present a general position or ideas. I don't know what the group thinks, but thinking about geographic regions, about ICANN, could be something, some outcomes that we can address also in our document. But I think that we have to talk about GNSO. I don't know what you think about it.
That was my understanding, but if we're thinking about how the board should look with geographical diversity, that would be something else, I think.
Yes, that was something I was going to ask you, Chuck, in your last part of your comment that you mentioned the board, and I think that Tony's question is going the same direction. Could you please clarify your last part of your comment?
Yeah, and that's why it's not clear to me that one of my biggest concerns was intended to be part of the scope of this group. So that's exactly, Tony, why I made that clear. I am not sure that they intended... first of all, let me back up a step and say that my understanding is our task is to mainly comment on whether we think a joint ICANN working group to focus on this issue is a good idea. I think that's probably a relatively simple exercise. But depending... What I'm saying is I'd like to make sure, if possible, that the scope includes geographic diversity requirements that are in the bylaws, as well as the definition of the geographic regions, which I think was the main intent of the suggestion.
But it looks like then we're not really quite clear on what our mission is. And getting to your comment on the problems the registry constituency had to fulfill the requirement for geographical diversity, I think you have an excellent point there, and that it may not have been the only constituency with that problem. So definitely some flexibility should be built into the bylaws on that account. Perhaps there should be a fallback provision saying that if within the constituency there's not the means to fulfill this, then you should be able to proceed otherwise.
Yeah, and I think there probably are several ways it could be approached, but more flexibility I think would be really helpful. I pointed this out in the GNSO structure working group that, for example, if you let's say, and I'll use the commercial stakeholder group side in the new structure, and let's just use the number 5 representatives on the council, and if each one of those had to be from a different geographic region, because the bylaws currently read that no two can be from the same geographical region, you're then forced to find somebody from every geographical region, even if no one's available. And, you know, maybe that's not a problem for the business constituency, and that's great, but that's the kind of situation that forces us to not necessarily have the most qualified people on the council. And I think some balance there would be very helpful.
Well, Chuck, looking back at I'm sorry, I'd just like to respond to that. Looking back at the when ICANN began to function as an entity, I think basically the concern was if you don't get geographical diversity in the councils and the board, it's difficult sometimes to stimulate participation from some of the regions, such as Latin America, Africa. Not so much Asia, because you have Australia and New Zealand, but it gets pretty much something dominated by the central countries.
And we don't want that, Tony. And so I think we have to be very careful how we approach something like this, so that there's some balance there, but at the board level, the way it's handled is at a much higher level. You know, you have to have at least one from every geographic region, and there can't be more than five in any one geographic region. I'm not suggesting that same model works for the GNSO. It obviously would have to be tweaked. That's a lot more flexibility than opposing it at the constituency level, where you have a small number of reps and they all have to be in different geographical regions.
Philippe, just a couple of comments, if I may.
You have a question, if I may. Just in regards to what Chuck was recommending earlier, because the actual resolution of the CCNSO is to appoint a community-wide working group to study the regions that have been assigned by ICANN. And then the board's resolution was to get together comments from the various supporting organizations and advisory committees on that resolution. So what you're saying, Chuck, is that our comment back in regards to the working group on the region should also include a comment that it isn't just that if the regions are going to be studied, then the way those the regional requirements apply to the board and other parts of ICANN should also be looked at.
Yes, Ken, that is where I'm going.
Okay. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
I could barely hear you, Tim. Could you repeat the last part of your comment?
Just that I agree with Chuck that that if the if a community-wide working group is established to study ICANN's geographic regions and whether they should be reconfigured, that as a part of that, they should also look at how that would affect the regional requirements in regards to, like, the board and other parts of ICANN.
Okay, I also agree with that. I also have noticed that there are some countries, especially developing countries, that they don't know in which region they belong to, and there are some difficulties for their participation. And sometimes United Nations activities, IGF activities, overlap or not with ICANN activities, and these countries want to get involved and they don't know what to do. So having geographic diversity and representation from different areas of the world could be difficult for these people if they are really eager to participate. And I think this is quite well addressed in the document that the CCNSO produced. So coming back to our objective, what I have noticed, and I think that the comment made by Chuck is relevant, the problems with, for example, registry constituency is other having the diversity in their representation from people from all over the world. Is this happening in other constituencies? Perhaps some others could bring some more ideas like Chuck did?
With the ISPs, we don't have that problem.
Because there are ISPs all over the world.
Well, we don't have much participation from Africa, but we have good Asian participation and Latin America, and of course Europe and the U.S.
Business constituency, Philip?
Yes, I mean we would probably have less problem than others to find people, but I don't think that's the central issue. I think we should on this call now focus. On the scope of what we want to cover, which I think is simply giving commentary back to the board in the context of the CCSO report, which itself doesn't reach any conclusions but just makes an analysis, focus indeed on the regions as a mechanism for diversity and comment if we think the existing regional structure is good for that or bad for that. And by all means make some comments that in any future council structure, clearly with a new structure, the application of that needs to be looked at afresh. And I think that's a fairly obvious statement to make that I'm sure we all agree upon.
Now, is it fair to say that all of us would support the formation of a community-wide working group focus on the issue, whatever the scope is?
Yes.
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 That's what I assumed, too.
There we are.
So that's
one decision
really
on this call.
That's really the very simple answer to one of the key questions being asked.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There are some, already in ICANN, there are some divisions in relation with regions, which are the RARs regions, made by ASO and numberings and IP addresses, and also there are liaisons assigned to certain regions. Do you think that these regions are useful? Do you think that I think that the RARs and the liaison, at least from the Latin American and Caribbean perspective, and perhaps Tony, you can say something about it. The region is quite well related with the local RAR, and so a big change in that could bring not perhaps a good effect in the region.
Answer.
Yep.
The RIRs had a very classical problem which came up when LACNIC was put together 4 years ago, which was what happens with the Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
Because since LACNIC was a very Latin American centric community, there were some islands in the Caribbean that said, I want to belong to RIPI, and others wanted to belong to ARIN, for example. And so that it didn't automatically fall into a geographic region like, you know, your island is here, so you belong to LACNIC. That just didn't happen.
So, Tony, does that mean that LACNIC and the ICANN Latin America Caribbean region indeed have differences?
When LACNIC was formed, that problem did come up, and to my knowledge, it is still that way. There are some islands who do not belong to LACNIC as an RIR.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the RARs with difficulties. I know that some regions, like in Eastern Europe and others, have similar problems like the Caribbean. But these regions have been established since some years and seem to be working. The Caribbean countries are working with LACNIC quite well, as far as I know. Tony?
They're not enemies. But I don't know the current status, but it used to be that, for instance, the French-speaking Caribbean islands preferred to belong to RIPI, and some English-speaking islands wanted to be in ARIN, such as the U.S. Virgin Islands, for example.
Okay. And I have been also reviewing the United Nations division, which brings the Americas all together, but there are some sub-regions. By the way, the Economic Commissions of the United Nations is divided into sub-regions. The Latin American and Caribbean Economic Commission is based in Santiago de Chile and handles Caribbean and the whole Latin America, something quite similar to what LACNIC area is established now. And the same happens with other economic commissions of the United Nations. Not the big division in between Americas that the United Nations make for the whole continent, that I think is quite broad to bring all the continent together.
I think Africa has a similar problem with the Northern African, some of the Northern African French-speaking countries, I believe, prefer to be within RIPI.
So, do we have a special preferable approach for the GNSO region scope or ideas? Or
Olga, Felipe, can I bring you back to a question I raised on the list?
Yes.
Which is, I think, one that's quite fundamental, really. Do we believe that ICANN should essentially allocate countries by, you know, its own mechanism to suit its own needs to regions, however many regions there may be, or do we believe that for our purposes of diversity, it's better to avoid such geopolitical debate and instead rely on a an existing authoritative system? And I think we need to ask ourselves that question first, because that will take us in one or two different directions before we pursue, you know, the problems with any one grouping. And I think there's nothing that I've seen so far that is a perfect grouping, and we just need to look at ideas of which may be the best. But I think we need to answer that question first ourselves as a group before we go much further.
I think it's a very good question, and from my perspective, I think that ICANN should not allocate, but it happens. It's already allocated, and some regions are working in between the ICANN structure somehow, good or bad, with some unclear definitions for some countries, but the fact is that these regions are already working somehow with some allocation.
Let's be clear. The five ICANN regions exist because they were in the original 1998 bylaws of ICANN, which were written, you know, by a set of American lawyers. And that's why those regions exist. Okay. The board then took a decision to say, use the UN system of allocation, but within the straitjacket of the ICANN bylaws, and that's what has happened. Okay. And the problems that have come out of that part of history is, I think, well identified in the CCSO report. And I think our job is to say, well, either it's the best situation we've got, so yeah, we stick with it, or to say, maybe there's something better that can be achieved. But I think simply saying that they've been working okay, I'm not sure I agree with. I think they've been working because there's been nothing else to work with.
No, I didn't say they're working okay. I think that they are
exactly, yeah.
By fact existing.
Yeah, but I mean, a bylaw can be changed, at the drop of a hat, if the board decides.
Olga, if I can make a suggestion, I think it'd be helpful if each of us responded to Philip's question with regard to the general approach.
Yes.
Can I start that?
Sure.
I have mixed feelings here. I like the idea of tying it to some already internationally recognized geographical region division, if that's possible to do in a practical way. But just like the current application of the geographic regions was force-fit to the ICANN bylaws and certain American lawyers' view, force-fitting an existing one, if it doesn't really adequately meet the needs of the GNS, of ICANN, I don't think it's necessarily a good idea just to say we're tying it to some existing regional division.
Okay. No, I would only suggest change if we believe that would lead to improvement.
Right. Yeah. That's a good way to approach it.
Okay. Someone else want to comment on Philip's question?
Yeah, I'll comment if you want, Tony Harris. I actually agree with what Chuck just said, Philip, because I think from a surgical perspective, the idea of, well, let's there's something already established in the world, let's just say we should do the same thing. It may not be a good fit exactly for the complicated ICANN environment. And I think perhaps if we considered flexibility, as Chuck suggested earlier, in with, say, constituencies and situations where you just don't have the people to fill geographical diversity seats, well, perhaps that same flexibility could apply to some country which says, well, I don't feel comfortable being lodged within this geographical area, and I would sooner be in another one. There may be some way that could be addressed also.
Philip, you wanted to comment something?
I think for me there's a separation in the choice of regions and in the application of ICANN's diversity requirements, and we ought to keep that separate in our minds at this point.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
Okay. I just want to make a comment. When I said that the visions exist, I didn't mean to say that this is good. I just wanted to say that there are some things going on, and if there is a change, then there will be some consequences that perhaps better for the humanity, for the good. But if there's a change, something may happen. I'm not saying that it's perfect, and I personally think that it shouldn't be very much diverse from other world divisions in order not to duplicate efforts, especially for developing countries. Someone else would like to comment on Philip's questions about ICANN allocating regions or using existing allocations all over the world? Okay. So I have a question, Chuck, about flexibility. I totally agree with you that registry constituency has this difficulties in finding people, especially because most of the activity happens in some few countries. How can flexibility be addressed without being confusing, without being not clear for different countries? Say, for example, a country wants to be participate in one region or in the other one. How can we say, let's go for flexibility, but with some kind of order?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it does have to be, you know, clear and non-confusing, but I think that's something that accomplish. The kind of flexibility I was thinking of, and whether or not this is the right way to approach it or not, I want to hear from a lot of other people on that. But for example, what if the geographic diversity requirements were imposed at the council level rather than at the constituency level? Now, there's some complications in that regard with regard to implementation, and I'm fully aware of those. But all of a sudden, then, you maintain the geographical diversity on the entire council, and maybe even use NOMCOM reps to help us make sure that stays in place, if that's possible, while at the same time not being so rigid at the individual constituency level that constituencies get put into a bind where they have to compromise and use the citizenship issue to meet the requirements. I mean, frankly, up until we had .Asia, you know, what the registries had to do was to find somebody who had a citizenship in another another region, regardless of whether they were really representative of that region or even living in it. And that's what we did. You know, I'm not sure that met the full intention of geographic diversity, and I think that we don't want to force those kinds of situations, while at the same time we do want to encourage geographic diversity.
Can I ask a question just to understand that more fully? So, Chuck, are you saying then that the constituencies wouldn't be required to appoint councillors based on geographic region, and that wherever it diversified, the nominating committee members would be the ones to fill that in? Or, I'm not quite understanding.
Well, I don't know that I have the answer, Tim, but let's take, for example, let's say the contracted parties had three reps on the new council once that happens, okay? Each, three reps each. Rather than requiring that all three be from different geographical regions, maybe no more than two could be from the same region, or and again, I'm not sure that's the answer, but that's, you know, kind of the thinking, so that you're actually able to select the three most effective people, and not just go by everyone has to be from a different region. And it becomes maybe even more illustrative if you have four or five reps on the council, where it becomes maybe more critical.
Chuck, isn't the problem you've highlighted historically the grid industry is going to improve over time anyway? With I suspect that if the existing structure of geographic diversity has been a problem and continues to be a problem, it will be a spectacular failure of expansion of new TLDs. So I think that failure of diversity would be small in comparison to the other.
Well, all going well, there will be a Mexico member in the registry constituency soon.
Yeah, and,
there you
and
go.
That will really, I actually do think it should improve, but I also think it will take quite a bit of time for that to happen. And one of the things we've experienced as new registries have been added, that so many of them are so tied up with building their business model that it's very difficult for them to devote someone who could spend the time, for example, that's required on the council. So I think that that should happen. I suspect that it's going to take several years, though, before that really has full impact.
Okay. I agree with Chuck that it will take some time for diversity to be reflected in the participation in the different constituencies. So, going back to Philip's questions, do we have some conclusion about believing that ICANN must allocate countries into regions, or we should use or rely on existing divisions made, like, let's say, for example, United Nations? Do we think that's feasible, useful? I will give you my personal opinion. I think that some changes and flexibility could be added to the regions that are allocated in ICANN right now. I think that's easier and not that conflictive. But it's only my thought. What do you think?
Well, I'll go if you want to. Tony Harris, I think that the whole concept of ICANN as an entity was put together without any effort to emulate or copy existing models, and it's almost logical that geographical distribution or diversity should also have been tweaked accordingly to make it useful to the ICANN mission objective. So I think I agree with Olga, flexibility should be added, but I'm not comfortable with saying, well, there's a United Nations model and we should adhere to that strictly.
No.
For example.
I find difficulties in trying to adhere to United Nations scheme. I mean, I think that it will bring a lot of changes, and I'm not sure if this will be good for the working in constituencies and in supporting organizations, that it may bring a lot of changes, apart from the fact that we can add some flexibility. That's my thought. And this is when I say, okay, we have some regions already defined in ICANN, and then let's see if we can... I'm not saying that they are necessarily good, but they are somehow working. That's my opinion.
Oh, God, maybe worth pointing out that Rob's email now with this quite useful chart has now come through on certainly on my email, so probably on others too, which is just a chart that shows you the United Nations regions, the RIRs, and the ICANN regions sort of side by side with a little description as to some of the differences there, which is quite useful to see. The key issues, I think, that and we've highlighted one of these on the list, and the CCs have highlighted another. I think are the following: the problem with the United Nations categorization is the Americas, and it lumps them all together, and that seems to be perhaps inappropriate for the diversity that we want to achieve. That is currently solved by the ICANN model, and it's also solved by the RIRs model. The failure of the current ICANN model in particular, as is the RIR's model, is the Asia-Pacific region, where the area of the greatest population and greatest growth is is rather underrepresented, I suspect, if you do the figures on population or countries compared to the other regions. And I think that's where there has been political pressure in particular. And I think also it was, you know, I think somebody on list or perhaps other discussions I've seen also made the point about the United Nations categorization, with Asia split in, Asia Pacific split into Asia and Oceania, actually means that Oceania is a bit of a strange area, although it's large geographically, it's rather small on population. So also has some problems, I think, in terms of fit. So those things are highlighted on that chart, though, in broad terms. It's quite useful to think about it in that way.
This is Tim. I'd like to comment, too. I'm not as well versed in some of this as some of you are, but it just seems from my perspective that the concerns of different constituents in different parts of the world would be that the needs and the interests of these various regions are going to be different from others. And to make sure that those interests and those needs are fairly represented within the ICANN space. So those might not fit necessarily well within the UN structure because they weren't created with that idea in mind. If you look at just, for example, internet users, actually Oceania, Australia actually has more internet users than all of Africa or, some of the European sections that the UN has split out into Western, Northern, or whatever, like the Middle East, for example. But I'm not suggesting that we go by, population. I'm just saying that Oceania and Australia as a region, does have a significant number of users in comparison to some of the other regions that might seem large, but when you look at it as, what are the interests and concerns of the internet users and how they might want to participate in ICANN, it's going to be significant in Oceania, Australia, as much so as anywhere else, and their needs and interests might be different than some other regions. So that would be my concern about having things folded up too tightly, like the UN has it, without getting into the subcategories. And maybe the way ICANN has it isn't exactly right either. But I don't think that you can just take, like, the UN or some other international body and say, well, the geographic regions that they defined will work. Because within ICANN context, we have to look at it within, what's the purpose? Why would these constituents in these various parts of the world want to participate? And to make sure that the regions are defined in a way that a diverse set of interests and the concerns specific to those users are going to be represented somewhere or somehow within ICANN. So that doesn't really get us to an answer, but I guess I am saying that I don't think there's necessarily one set of regions that have been defined by the UN or anyone else that would necessarily work directly one for one within ICANN.
I agree with that very much.
I agree with Tim.
Olga, could I raise a process issue for this group? And see if my thinking is correct or not. And it seems to me that it's not the task of this group or even the GNSO at this stage in time to actually agree on exactly how geographic regions should be improved, but rather, first of all, and we've already accomplished one objective, we're all in agreement that we support the formation of an ICANN working group, community-wide working group, to focus on this issue. And it's that group, then, that would ultimately work this problem, and we would be a part of that.
Okay.
But beyond, I'm not saying we should stop there. So I think, and I've heard several people mention some principles. Philip did it. Tim, even in what he just said, actually was sharing some things that could be very much built around some principles that we could include in to help guide that community-wide working group when it's formed. So, whereas I do think it's very helpful for us to talk about these the UN model, the ICANN model, the IRR model, and so forth, and we should spend time on that. Ultimately, we don't, in this group or even in the, at the GNSO council level, have to actually decide now. That will be done in another group, and to whatever we can do to make sure that that happens in a constructive and successful way is, I think, where we should focus our attention in this particular group.
I agree with you, Chuck, and I also agree with Tim about not all United Nations division is perfect. I think that I totally agree with you. So I would like, I think very useful what you mentioned about flexibility, and we should be saying something about it, especially about the GNSO Council. What do you think?
I'll go Philip in. Let me agree with what Chuck had just said in the first part of what he said, and it may be very useful. I think perhaps if you know you as chair are going to put pen to paper, in perhaps you know fleshing out well a the point of agreement we've already got on this call, and secondly, perhaps suggesting some principles. Going forward, as to how we think these things should be should happen, based on you know what you've seen on the list and discussion on this call, and that will be a useful thing then for us to react to on list or on our next call, in just in terms of going forward, because I think it's right we don't need to make the decision in terms of how it should look, but we could describe. The path to go down in terms of how things should look if indeed there's going to be any change.
So in other words, each of us could, between now and our next call, translate some of the things we've said on this call into some principles. Some of them were already really stated as principles. And we could begin to form a list of principles that then we can decide whether we... all support them or not, and then put those forward along with the support for the formation of a ICANN community working group.
Sure, it can be mentioned as consensus was also evident on these issues, and mentioned them.
Okay, I suggest the following. Why don't you send me? I can concentrate if you agree all the comments and the principles. And I can draft a document and send it to the list. And something else that we should agree is how often or when are we going to have our next call, which day is convenient, our frequency, if we need many, if we need few meetings. What do you think?
It depends, Olga, I think, on what we think the scope of our work is. I mean, for me, I would be satisfied with a short report which says, yes, there should be some ICANN-wide body, and we want to be part of it. And two, here's a set of agreed principles that should relate to any consideration of regional structures and diversity. End of story, you know. And I think the rest can be done for later.
Other comments about this idea?
Well, Olga, I don't know that we're quite ready to start drafting. I think the next step, and I'm okay with you trying to draft something now, but the next step, if we could collectively, you know, all put forward some principles, and then in our next meeting, if we could discuss those, refine them, and decide whether there's a strong agreement for those principles, once we've done that exercise, then we may be getting closer to actually being able to draft something.
Yes, of course, Chuck. Forgive me if I my English is sometimes limited. I just wanted to say that I could draft a document putting all these ideas together, not more than that, and send it to the list, and then we discuss it in our next meeting. And I was asking to the group, when and how often do you think that we should have our next conference call?
Well, if this time works for everyone, can we just have a tentative schedule for this time every week? Does that make sense? And then we'll kind of play it by ear as far as how many we need.
That works for me.
I have no problem.
It's once a week. I can hear you very, very.
Yes, same time.
Okay.
Once a week was the proposal.
No problem. So you think it's a good idea if you send to the list or some principles that I can put them all together, or someone else want to do that? And I have just a suggestion that I can do it, but I'm open to any suggestion.
That's fine.
Okay.
Sure.
So we agree in meeting on next Monday the same time, and also we're sharing these principles through the list, and I will put them together, and of course I will send it to the list as soon as I have it done, and we discuss about these principles the next call.
Sounds fine.
That's okay. Okay, so we have things to do, and thank you all for meeting, and let's exchange some ideas on the list, and we talk on next Monday.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Olga.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.